100 and 2000 UTC.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the June 22nd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off with a Sunny Side of Sports salute for 37-year-old Asamoah John, Ghana's all-time leading goal scorer, who announced this week he's retiring from football. Joining us now from Accra with a report that encapsulates John's career and puts it in perspective is Yawafusu Larbi. Sporty greetings, Yao!
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Ghana's greatest ever striker, Asamoah John, has retired from the game after an illustrious career that spanned 20 years. He leaves as a legend of the Ghanaian game with a ton of goals for the national team and a truckload of memories. John announced his retirement at a forum in Accra.
It's time to tell everybody I've officially retired from football.
Oh!
And very, very emotional, as he said. It's a very, very difficult moment. It's something that you love, something that you've done since your childhood, and then living it at this moment. And I'm very happy. I'm very happy to use this platform. And it's official right now. All the journalists, everybody.
Asamoah John is an enigma. Many players have incredible club careers as opposed to what they do for their countries. John's was a reverse. He was an important figure for the Black Stars. He scored goals, lots of them, finished as a record goal scorer for the national team with 51 goals, Africa's greatest scorer at the World Cup with 6 goals, and won many other accolades to go with them. At the World Cup, he was the X factor for Ghana. He always made an impact and was an incredibly huge figure. His goal against the United States of America has a place in World Cup folklore.
American defense to deal with, and Asamoah John has scored! A wonderful volley goal, yet another one from the danger striker, and the USA are in trouble again.
Every player has that one year where they do incredibly great things, are on top of their game, and brimming with confidence. In John's case, 2010 was that year. He led Ghana to the Africa Cup of Nations final, where the Black Stars lost to Egypt before leading them again to the World Cup. He scored 3 goals in that World Cup, but he is best remembered for this.
Asamoah John has the opportunity to send Ghana into the semi-finals of the World Cup. And he hits the bar!
That miss has defined his career in many ways. It was John's sliding doors moment. He admits that it was a tough time, but has taken it in his stride.
Honestly, I haven't watched the game. You know, I always go back and then watch the penalty. You know, that is the only thing I watch. People even tag me. You know, I have to just watch it and then just shake my head. You know, I wish we could go back again and then have that penalty, but life goes on. You know, there are a lot of great players who have missed a crucial penalty, like what I did. You know, but as I always say, life goes on. You know, honestly, I always watch it all over and all over again, and it's something that I will never forget.
He started his international career as a 17-year-old in 2003, when he came on as a substitute in a game against Somalia. At that time, his brother Bafo was a Black Stars player and helped him through settling in as a teenager. His first tournament goal was hugely significant. It came against Czech Republic at the World Cup in Germany in 2006.
Czech was taking no chances at all. Appiah, an opening here for Ghana, who score early on. John is on target.
He scored in every tournament he played in, except the AFCON in 2019 in Egypt. His most prolific tournament came in 2010, where he scored 3 goals at the Africa Cup of Nations, knocking host Angola and Nigeria to reach the final. Since then, he was limited to a goal or two at every tournament, and a fair dose of near misses and intense criticism dogged his international career. He opened the scoring at Ghana 2008 and then threatened to go home after criticism of his goal-scoring form intensified. In 2012, he missed the penalty in the semi-final of the Africa Cup of Nations and then took time off international football. In 2015, he watched on as Ghana lost on penalties to Ivory Coast in the final of the Africa Cup of Nations. There has been good times and bad times for the striker, but he is leaving as a true legend of the African game. Former management member of the Ghana Football Association, Fred Papo, says he has written his name in history.
Well, I think he'll be among the greatest of the greats. He should be up there. I think he should be up there with the biggest that we've had as a nation. And I would say it's a blessing that Ghana had a player like a personality like Asamoah Gyan.
Ghana's explosive striker has hung up his boots. The sun has certainly set on a beautiful career. For the sunny side of sports, this is Yao Fusulabi in Accra.
Thanks, Yao. In more African men's football news, 15 teams have qualified so far for next year's Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Ivory Coast. After the most recent round of qualifying matches, that leaves 9 places open with the final round of qualifiers to be played in September. The 15 teams that have booked their tickets to African football's premier event are, in alphabetical order, Algeria, Burkina Faso, Cape Verde, Egypt, Equatorial Guinea, Guinea-Bissau, Ivory Coast, which earned an automatic berth as the host, Mali, Morocco, Nigeria, defending Nations Cup champion Senegal, South Africa, Tunisia, and Zambia. For some Nations Cup qualifying analysis, Iron Mike Mbonye checked in once again with the chief football writer at ACLsports.com, Fisayo Dairo.
Well, I think they're usual suspects. They are the teams that everyone will expect to be in the number when we are talking about a whooping 15 teams qualifying for a competition as big as the Africa Cup of Nations. And just like you mentioned, lots of the big names are there. Former champions, the reigning champions, the host nations, a lot of them have already booked their places in Cote d'Ivoire. And that is already setting the tone and, you know, putting our minds to what to expect in the next 6 months or thereabouts in the West African nation. The likes of defending champions, Teranga Lions of Senegal, the likes of perennial champions, record champions, Pharaohs of Egypt, the likes of the Fennec Foxes of Algeria, and not forgetting our own Super Eagles of Nigeria. It's also good to see that the Bafana of South Africa are back in the number among the best teams in Africa, as well as the Atlant Lions of Morocco, who excelled at the last FIFA World Cup in Qatar.
Talking about what to expect in next year's AFCON, with Senegal as the defending champions, at the Pharaohs of Egypt, Bafana, the Atlant Lions of Morocco. Let's talk about the Atlant Lions of Morocco. Do you think they will be favorites given the feat they achieved at the last FIFA World Cup, where they became the first African team to get to the semi-finals of any World Cup?
Well, obviously, they'll be one of the teams to beat in the tournament, because having gotten to that stage of the World Cup semi-final, which no African side had ever reached, of course, the whole world wants to beat them. And, of course, they've been beaten in recent times in qualifying. So the whole of the continent really want to beat them. I remember before, after the third place game in Qatar, I was in the press conference room when their coach Walid Regragui said something. He said he has told this group of players that everything you have achieved is nothing if you cannot win the Africa Cup of Nations. So they are going to Cote d'Ivoire having that at the back of their mind, that whatever they might have achieved in Qatar is nothing to write home about if they cannot break that jinx of the Moroccan national team winning the Africa Cup of Nations for decades now. They've not smelt that title. So Morocco are obviously one of the teams to beat. And of course, the Teranga Lions of Senegal, the defending champions, ever since they won that tournament, they've been imperious. Just at the last Africa international window, they beat Brazil by as much as 4-2. So definitely these two teams for me. Interestingly, they are both Lions, the Lions of Teranga and the Atlas Lions of Morocco. They are definitely the teams to beat and to look out for in Côte d'Ivoire.
One can safely say that for the AFCON tournament scheduled for Ivory Coast next year is going to be something else. It's going to be special and it's going to be tough.
Absolutely. It's going to be something else, like you put it. It's going to bring back the fans' flavor in African football, because look at all the big teams we've mentioned. I'm particularly happy that South Africa are back in it, because I think they missed the last one in Cameroon. And now this time, with the kind of fans they have also, that will come along with them, and Algeria, Senegal, Morocco, the Super Eagles of Nigeria, you know, it's going to be a West African event as well. Although Ghana have not yet confirmed their place, but they are still in the running to qualify. Also, the Indomitable Lions of Cameroon. So it's going to be a special occasion. And having a lot of African teams having improved over the past 1-2 years, it will certainly be something enjoyable.
That's Fisayo Dairo, the chief football writer at ACLSports.com. And Fisayo spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye in Port Harcourt, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Fisayo Dairo, chief football writer at ACLSports.com. And you are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, Twitter, and at VOAAfrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My Twitter handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to VOAAfrica.com, you can listen online to the Sunny Side of Sports as well as past episodes. Check out VOAAfrica.com. Vlatko Andonovski, the head coach of the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team, has unveiled his 23-player roster for next month's World Cup to be co-hosted by Australia and New Zealand. Coach Andonovski's selections included two of the sport's most exciting young players, 21-year-old Trinity Rodman, the daughter of former basketball star Dennis Rodman, and 18-year-old Alyssa Thompson. They are among 14 players who will be making their Women's World Cup debuts. The top-ranked USA is bidding to become the first men's or women's team to win 3 consecutive World Cups. Coach Andonovski ruled out 4 players because of injuries. One of them was Captain Becky Sauerbrunn.
First, I want to say we're all got it for Becky. It's not questionable that we're going to miss Becky. We're going to miss her on the field. We're going to miss her off the field. And if there's someone that has a relationship, connection, and someone that wanted Becky on this roster, that's me. But now that's part of sports, and we understand that things like this will happen. So we're very very confident in the team that we have, and we're very confident in the abilities of the players that we have on the on our team, that we'll be able to overcome the deficiency that may occur with Becky's absence.
Vlatko Andonovski was appointed head coach of the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team in October 2019, a few months after the USA lifted its 4th Women's World Cup trophy in France. And Anofsky is looking forward to coaching at his first World Cup.
When we talk about World Cup, I don't think there's an athlete, or actually there is a soccer player or a coach that does not dream of a World Cup. You know, if you're a soccer player, you dream to play in the World Cup. If you're a coach, you dream to coach. So it is a dream come true for me personally. And obviously myself, together with the staff, will do anything possible to help this team make history. We want to do it for the players. We want to do it for the team. We want to do it for the community. We want to do it for this country. We want to do something that has never been done before. We believe in the quality of the team. We believe in the support that we have, and we think that we have what it takes to make it possible.
Coach Andonofsky made calls to young players as well as veteran stars, like 33-year-old striker Alex Morgan, who has scored 121 goals in 206 appearances for the USA.
We knew that we were expecting to receive calls for, you know, information on who's coming and who's not. And to get that call from Vlatko was a great moment. I was actually expecting a phone call, but he FaceTimed me and I was like, oh, wow, I need to get myself together right now. So that was a little surprise. But it's always a special moment to hear a coach say that you made a roster for a major tournament and to be going to my fourth World Cup. I'm just as excited and anxious as my first one. So I'm really looking forward to it.
And while Alex Morgan and her USA teammates have achieved equal pay with their U.S. men's national team counterparts, she's also looking forward to women's teams all over the world receiving similar financial compensation.
Having achieved equal pay and equal prize money, equal working conditions, but it's not just us that we're fighting it. There's still a lot of teams fighting for it. I mean, you look at Spain and there's some players who should absolutely be in this World Cup that are not going to the World Cup due to the inequalities of their team and standing up for themselves and the future generations of their sport. So I think that this World Cup is going to be the most watched. It's going to be the most attended. It's going to bring in the most revenue that we've ever seen. And I think you're starting to see FIFA respect that and value women's soccer way more than we've seen before. And so I think that that puts a lot of pressure on sponsors, on federations, on everybody in the soccer world to recognize and embrace that. And so I think that this World Cup is just going to be another testament to the growth of women's soccer. And I believe Australia and New Zealand are going to put on a great show.
Alex Morgan talks about the pressure on sponsors and federations. What about the pressure on the USA to lift a record-extending fifth Women's World Cup trophy?
I think it's tough for us to put even more target on our backs by saying we're a favorite or not. So, I mean, I think that at the end of the day, we already have a target on our back coming in as reigning World Cup champs. But there's some teams that have done incredibly well over the last 4 years, have made a name for themselves to compete for this trophy. And so, I'm very optimistic with our chances with this roster. And I think that you guys can probably write a story from there and decide whether or not that you think we're favorites or not.
Alex Morgan and the USA will be based in New Zealand during the group stage. They'll kick off their World Cup campaign on July 22nd when they play Vietnam. Then they'll face the Netherlands in a rematch of the 2019 Women's World Cup final, and they'll finish group play against Portugal. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
This is The Voice of America. Washington, D.C.
Still with the Women's World Cup, four African teams, Morocco, Nigeria, South Africa, and Zambia, will compete in Australia and New Zealand. Morocco and Zambia are making their Women's World Cup debuts. Let's take a quick look at the opening matches of the four African teams. Morocco will meet Germany on July 24th in Melbourne, Australia. Nigeria will play Canada on July 21st, also in Melbourne. South Africa will face Sweden on July 23rd in Wellington, New Zealand. And Zambia is matched against Japan on July 22nd in Hamilton, New Zealand. Now let's go to Zimbabwe, where the all-female Zimbiru Rugby Club is helping keep girls off the streets. VOA's Gwen Ooten tells us more. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. According to the World Bank, economic growth in Zimbabwe has been volatile over the past decade, due in part to the country's free-falling currency and high unemployment. Jobs are scarce, and the economic crisis has forced many underage girls from rural areas to turn to drugs and enter the sex trade to earn a living. But the all-female Zimbiru Rugby Academy Club is on a mission to move young women and girls off the streets and onto the pitch. Zimbiru athlete Bridget Magazu had never handled a rugby ball when she was introduced to the sport a few years ago. But now the 20-year-old is the first to arrive for her training session at Zimbiru Primary School. And as she waited patiently for her fellow teammates to arrive, she told Reuters News her life drastically changed when she became involved in the sport. Bridget Magasu says, rugby has changed my life because I spend most of my time at the ground. This protects me from social ills like drugs and substance abuse. Takuzwa Girazi is a rugby coach at the academy. He says the club not only keeps the players off the streets, it provides a safe haven to protect them from the worsening socioeconomic landscape in Zimbabwe.
I started off as a tag rugby club, then later developed into contact. The reason being, I wanted the girls to stay away from the streets. Looking at this place, it's a hotspot for sex work. So we try by all means to keep our girls away from that.
Rugby is a close contact sport where 15 players on two teams run to the opposite side with an oval-shaped ball in hand. It's reportedly the fastest growing sport in Africa, but usually reserved for the more affluent suburbs of major cities in Zimbabwe. Now, rugby is making inroads in the countryside. The Zimbiru team trains in Domboshava, a rural neighborhood located about 20 miles northeast of the capital. And despite functioning on a shoestring budget, the academy conducts practice sessions that could rival any fully funded operation. The girls spend a majority of the week on the pitch and practice running, passing, and scrummaging drills with the help of energy-boosting sugarcane. The club is not equipped to ease economic struggles the girls face in their daily lives, but manager Caroline McCary believes rugby will give them all a chance at a better future.
The mantra in the country these days is fighting drug abuse and substance abuse amongst the youths in our communities. So we feel that as Zimbiru Rugby, we're also playing our part to get these kids to be busy. If they're training 4 days a week and they have a game on a Saturday, it gives them very little time to think about anything else.
athlete Bridget Magasu thinks about how far she's come and says she hopes to one day represent Zimbabwe in the sport she loves. Bridget says, we have always had love for and big dreams to play for Zimbiru Rugby Academy. When we started, we had no kit and we played barefoot. But now that has all changed with proper uniforms and boots. We feel we can grow even bigger. We are not going to stop here. And the Zimbiru Rugby Academy seems to have no plans of stopping. In the 7 years since it was founded, the Zimbiru side are now in a 15-team league. A few of their players have made the under-18 squad, and 4 athletes have been drafted into the under-20 women's side for Zimbabwe. And that is all for me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bongo flavor to soukous, Afrobeat and dombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Around the clock, the Voice of America keeps you in touch with the latest news. Tune in at the top of every hour, every day of the week for the 5-minute VOA newscast. We bring you reports from our correspondents and interviews with newsmakers from around the globe. Give us 5 minutes and we'll give you the world. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
In Olympic news, the International Olympic Committee has stopped recognizing the International Boxing Association as the global body for the sport. The IOC said its decision to withdraw recognition was due to the IBA's failure to complete reforms on governance, finance, and ethical issues. IOC President Thomas Bach spoke during an IOC extraordinary session held online Thursday.
You can see that we have an extremely serious problem with IBA because of their governance. Because we value the sport of boxing so much, we believe that these athletes, the boxers, fully deserve to be governed by an international federation with integrity and transparency.
The IOC had previously suspended the IBA in 2019 and did not involve it in running the boxing events at the Tokyo Olympics. Boxing is part of the Paris 2024 Olympics, but the qualification bouts and the competition are being run by the IOC and not the IBA. More Olympic news. The IOC says it still has time to decide about the participation of Russian and Belarusian athletes at next year's Paris Olympics, according to IOC spokesman Mark Adams.
You want a time frame. We said we will take a decision when the time is right, and I think that's the right thing to do, to see how things are developing. I was just with the president in Baku, where we saw independent athletes taking part. Worked very well, and a lot of the athletes, coaches that we spoke to were content with that. I believe similar circumstances in fencing as well. Each federation will be different, to be honest. Some federations are independent. They can make their own minds up. We would hope that they follow our guidelines. Many are starting to do so. There are more plans for other sports as well. I think rowing as well, off the top of my head, is moving towards some inclusion. So I think it needs to be flexible because it's a moving situation. So I can't give you a timeline, but we will take a decision regarding Paris, which hasn't been taken yet. We will take that decision when the time is fit, and there still remains plenty of time for that decision to be taken.
Meanwhile, I don't have plenty of time to wrap up the June 22nd edition of the show. So let me say thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.